Stage Your Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.
Good morning, everybody. This is Shell Broadnax with Stager Talk, and I am joined here with some of our fantastic RisaCon Canada speakers. Catherine Lewis-Brown, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And Tori Toth, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Great. And Diane Hamill, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. My pleasure.
And Shauna Lynn Simon, how are you this morning?
Doing very well. Good afternoon. It's afternoon here.
Afternoon there. That's right. You guys are on the East Coast. And Christy Morrison, good afternoon to you.
Hello.
And May Barnes, how are you, May?
I am just fantastic, Shell. Thanks for asking and thanks for having me join you today.
Wonderful. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to go by one and tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, maybe how long you've been in staging and your topic. Christy, tell us who you are.
Well, I'm Christy Morrison. I've been in business for almost a decade now, and I own Capital Staging and Design here in the Ottawa market. And my topic is setting your business up for success with systems. And I'm pretty excited about that topic just because it was one of the common themes that we really wanted more information when we were talking in RISA Vegas last year. So we created, and it was a huge attendance within the class. I had lots of people taking photos of the slides, asking me tons of questions, and it was a really exciting time that I was able to bring together. So the topics I was talking about is like systems and things that are important for the business and you know, what do you need within and your business to expand and make it scalable and possibly sellable in the future? And how, where do you start? What do you need? So it was a huge, overview of information that had core systems that you could actually implement right away if you needed to, or refine what you're currently using. So that's pretty much my topic I don't know how detailed you want me to get there, Shell, but...
Well, no, that's great. We had actually got good feedback on your presentation, and I also think that the systems are so imperative to talk about them all the time, you know, an autopsy on everything it is that you've done, what well, what didn't, what are you going to change next time, which I know that they're part of your system, you have to be. And it's also for your business valuation. If you're looking at wanting to build an empire so you can sell down the line, it's important to have those systems. And we actually have another speaker, RISA Vegas in 2017, who's going to professional business value. And so he's going to be touching on that topic. And we'll certainly probably cross-reference systems as well. So look forward to hearing more on that. And May, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and what is your topic?
Okay, thanks, Shell. So my background is I'm a stager, as well as being a master coach and success consultant. So I've been in business for several decades, and the topic that I'm going to speak about is entitled Build Your Business Beyond Your Belief. So it's part of a program that I do offer, and it's all about be more, do more, and have more. So, you know, throughout the course, we'll look about understanding and organizing and implementing strategies to achieve both personal and business success. You know, there's several topics that are in the program. I don't know, again, how detailed you'd like me to be.
For right now, just that's perfect. We love it. Thank you.
Okay. Good.
Shauna Lynn, this girl, let me tell you, Shauna Lynn, you got style, girl. I like you. I like everything about you. I like your look. I like your hair. I wish I was as brave as you are, but tell everybody a little bit about your business, your background, how long you've been in the business, and what's your topic.
Sure. So Shauna Lynn Simon and I have been a stager now for just over 8 years. We just had our 8-year anniversary. But I have a previous background, actually. I have a math degree, so I come from a very analytical background as well. So I kind of pair that up with my creativity in staging. So I have some tech knowledge, not a whole lot of technology type knowledge, but things to work easily. So somewhat complementary to what Christy's offering. I love systems. I thrive on systems. What I've done is I've created some systems for being able to be a little bit more productive while we're on the road. Because I think one of the biggest challenges for home stagers is that we're mobile. So we get back to the office and we've got to spend hours getting caught up on paperwork. And really all we want to do is be out with our clients. So I've come up with some great systems utilizing some mobile applications that are super easy to use, that are 100% free, and really make it so that when we get back to the office, we have a lot less paperwork that we're buried under. So like I said, very complimentary to what Christy's offering. I also run a home stager certification program myself as well. So I've been teaching stagers for years, and I'm finally officially doing through the SLS Academy that I've started. But I'm really, really excited to be invited back to RisaCon Canada. We had so much fun in Vegas. It was such a great topic. They yelled, the girl that came in to say that our time was up, they yelled at her and kicked her out. I took that to mean that everyone really enjoyed the topic. So I'm confident that Canada will enjoy it just as much as Vegas did.
We did. You got some great feedback too as well. So thanks for being on the day. So let's move on to Diane Hamill. Diane, you are just one of the sweetest people that I think I've ever met. You've got a really nice, sweet energy about you. So tell us about your business, how long you've been in the industry, and a little bit about your topic.
Well, I took my staging training only 4 years ago, and I've had my own business about 2.5 years. And for about the last year and a half, I have, in addition to running my business, Stage to Sell, I've been a training instructor for CSP International. And that was just something that just kind of came my way. And I'm really enjoying that aspect of my business as well. So I meet a lot of people who are just getting into staging, and a lot of them are very reluctant to go after anything other than a higher price market because they think people won't be interested in staging and investing in staging in anything other than a high price market. And I'm using in the talk that I'm giving called Staging Pays at All Price Points, I'm using three different properties, a really low budget price townhouse, and then a mid-price townhouse and a more expensive estate kind of home to show how the homeowner benefited, how the realtor benefited, how the stager benefited, and how it was a positive money proposition for all involved. And people can take these statistics and go home with them and use them in their daily work and trying to convince, overcome the objections of the people that we deal with, our clients, in using staging. And the benefit it is to everybody.
And I love the case studies of that because I agree, you know, staging can benefit all the different price points. I think it's also important, I think we'll probably get into it, that the stager also determine what kind of price point do they want to work in. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes as well.
Sure.
Catherine Lewis Brown, Catherine and I had dinner together. Gosh, was it just, it's been already 2 years, I think.
It's getting close to that show.
Getting close to about 2 years. I enjoyed having dinner with you out in my neck of the woods when you were out in California. So tell us a little bit about your background, how long you've been in the business and what your topic's going to be.
Well, I've been in the business for 6 years. I'm in Toronto, and so I've been staging for 6 years, and I've actually been training and coaching stagers for the last almost 4 years, and loving it. And so I was at RISA in 2016 in January, and I did a talk on finding your ideal client. So really about a lot about what you were just referring to about that Diane was talking about deciding that you want to market to a luxury market versus a non-luxury market. So it's really about finding that client who you love to work with, who loves to work with you, who sees value in what you have regardless of the price point, and who wants to pay for you and therefore is going to be your ideal client, someone that you just really so that you never ever end up leaving a job and feeling like that was a waste of my time, that was uncomfortable, I didn't enjoy that. You should go to every staging job thinking that you're going to love it, knowing that you're going to love it because you've already sort of pre-selected the kind of client that you want to work with. And that makes it so much easier to sell your value and to keep on loving your business the way that you ought to. So that's what I'm going to talk about.
I love it. And Tori Toth, another one of my favorite people. Tori's got a fascinating background. Tori, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background specifically as it comes to the reporter aspect and what you've done, and then a little bit about your topic and what you're going to speak about.
Sure, Michelle. So I've been in business since 2009, Stylish Stagers, Inc. in the New York City area. But about 3 years ago, I decided to take my past experience before being a stager, which I was a one-man band TV reporter, and start creating how-to videos to just educate sellers and agents more about the process of staging and what it all entails. After that, I actually wrote a book, which became a bestseller on Amazon, on home staging called Feel at Home, and that led me to create the first of its kind online home staging video course that teaches sellers how to stage themselves. So I basically rely a lot of my business from email, so that's what I'm going to be talking about, which is building your email list to boost client relations and get more sales, because we need an automated system in place. I know you guys are talking about systems and stuff, so this is an easy way to do that.
Awesome. I love it. You know what? I think we have a caller or either another speaker, so I'm going to go live with this person and see who's calling us. Hi, caller. Are you there? Do we have another speaker on the phone, or do we have a caller wanting to ask a question? You're calling from the 212 area code.
I came in a minute ago. Liz Craig.
Hi, Liz. Thanks for calling in on Stager Talk. What is your question?
I don't have a question. I was just coming in to listen.
Okay. Well, then you don't need to call on the phone because we think you're calling for a question. So I'm going to go ahead and mute you, and you can go ahead and hang up if you'd like, and you can still listen in.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Okay, fantastic. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of it. Let me ask y'all, all of you have had experience in the business, number one. Number two, most of you have participated in one way or another with ResaCon events. If somebody's sitting on the fence right now and deciding, you know, if they're going to make an investment to come to either ResaCon Vegas or Canada, why do you think that this type of education is beneficial? And anybody who just wants to jump in, just go for it.
I think it's easy to talk over each other for this one. I think we probably all have so many opinions on this one as to why it's so fantastic. Shauna Lynn here. In my personal opinion, I think even aside from the fabulous speakers that we have and the educational talks, just the networking alone, I think that home staging can get to be, it can feel like a bit of a lonely business at times. You feel like no one has any idea what you're dealing with day to day. And then you get in a room with another 100 or 200 other stagers that are facing the same challenges you're facing every single day, and getting different perspectives on how everyone handles different situations and getting a chance to really connect with them. I think that's one of the most critical parts to this. And it's absolutely worth every penny just for that alone.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think a lot of people think that networking, they say, because we promote that. So, you know, come for the networking. It's priceless. You're going to use it. And they think, well, why would I want to network with other stagers? And I shake my head, and I know all of y'all are like, why would you not want to do that? That's crazy. Because that's what it's really about. It's about having the camaraderie, having other people's input, getting someone else's slant on something that you might be experiencing in your own business.
For sure. I think everyone's so supportive. Oh, it's amazing.
This is Christy here. I just wanted to say for myself, I always saw the value for attending the RESA conventions, because I knew if I wanted to build my business and become number one in my market, I needed to learn from people who've already done it in their market and then apply the elements that I feel would suit my needs here in my market and grow my business that way. It's a lot easier to grow a business if you're learning from people who've already done it. And that's, I think, how most of us became speakers in this, convention. You know, we've all attended these conventions. We've learned from the best. Now we've implemented our own systems, refined them, and now we're teaching stagers on how to do it. So it's just a giant weekend of sharing knowledge that you really can't lose, that you're just going to learn.
It's a giant love fest.
Yeah.
This is Catherine. I also think, too, what happens is that the expectation for a lot of people who are think that they don't want to go is that they are too early in their business or they're too experienced in their business. And the thing is that I have found with Risa is that it is absolutely super for new stagers because you get that exposure to other stagers, which you're kind of lost a bit on. You do your training and then you're sort of out there on your own. So coming to Risa is a huge opportunity to meet a whole lot of people who are on the same page as you and are at the beginning of their business and also who have moved along, as Christy says, so that lessons learned, you get the best practices. And also because this industry is still so young, it's only been, I think, in the last like 3 or 4 years that you could really see that the progress and the success that we can really actually achieve as a staging business. And I think that is like so super motivating. And to be in a room full of people who are at different stages of their business, different stages of success, it can't do anything else but motivate you and inspire you to be better and to do better. So I think you get this opportunity to learn and just like suck up all that enthusiasm and energy and to leave there and really be able to, you know, put that all that energy into making your business grow, and especially going into the fall when the real estate market is starting to boom again, that you're totally ready for it and inspired. So,
Yeah, Diane here.
I love that.
Diane here. When I was, I came to my first RESA in 2015 in Vegas, and I was feeling a little intimidated because I hadn't been in the business very long and thought that I didn't really have much to contribute. But just sitting around the table at meals and going out for a drink afterwards and chatting with people in the lobby and bumping into people at sessions, I really felt that I not only did I learn a lot, but I was able to contribute even with my, at that time, limited knowledge and experience as a stager. So I think you not only do you have a ton to learn, but you have a ton to give too, because everybody has so many different experiences in life coming up to where we are in the staging, you know, as stagers. There isn't really anybody who's been doing this for 40 years. So we all come from different places and stages and experiences in life, and there's so much that we can offer to each other. And not just in the staging knowledge we have, but life experience. And it was just really inspiring to come to a place where I could meet 400 other people who were passionate about what I was passionate about. Like, how great is that?
I think absolutely. It's pay it forward too, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think like even, I mean, I know that we all want to go to these conferences to get that wealth of knowledge, but even some of the simplest things, you know, I remember one of my first questions that I asked was, how the heck do you guys transport your pillows from place to place? Or how do you store your lampshades? You know, simple storage solution type things or other just kind of day-to-day type questions, just sitting around a table at lunch with a bunch of people and asking them, you know, a variety of questions. And it's amazing some of the different answers. And you're like, wow, I didn't even think about that. So it's not, you know, there's just so much wealth of knowledge there, and everyone does things differently. So it's always interesting to learn how everyone does things.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think the camaraderie and the exchange of information is just, it's really priceless. And I'm so excited to bring RESA to Canada. I know the Canadians for years were saying, we wanted to do something here on our, you know, on our own, bring it here. And it's really hard to take a convention like this outside of a major hub. You know, Las Vegas is the most. Every year I go out and I give a bid for everybody and all the different places, Orlando and New York. And if I have it in New York City, your ticket price would be 3 times the amount that we have to charge in Vegas in order to cover the expenses. So that's why we always have it in Vegas. But this particular year, Lisa McEntee was pivotal in helping us find the Living Arts Center in Mississauga. And I wasn't there to see it. I've only seen the pictures. So it's going to be a nice surprise when I get there, but I think it's going to work out really well. And that darn exchange rate, you know, at least we've got from the U.S., we're coming up there, so it's great. And the Canadians in that area, you know, you don't have far to travel. So if somebody's on the fence about it, get your feet wet. If you're new, even if you're a tenured stager, we've got things there, topics there that everybody can get something out of. So we're really, really excited about coming to your neck of the woods and being in your home. So let me ask some questions of everybody, just a general consensus. Where you are today in your business, as far as what you thought you wanted in the beginning, how far off are you? Meaning, do you have the business exactly the way that you wanted, or when you first started out, did you think it was going to be one thing and ended up being something different? Shauna, how about you?
I think I pretty much stayed on track. One thing that I did do, though, when I right in the very beginning when I first launched the business, was I altered my business plan almost immediately to account for owning my own inventory. So that was something that I originally, when I got into the business, thought, oh, I'm not really going to own anything, and quickly changed that. Other than that, though, I think I've pretty much grown the business fairly to my expectations, but I think that there were definitely some steps along the way that I thought would be a little bit easier to get to than they were, but some things took a little longer maybe than I expected them to. But overall, I'm excited with where things are at today, and I'm excited to have seen how the industry has grown alongside my business. So it's it's not just my business that's growing, it's everyone's businesses are growing. Homestage is really taking off as an industry as a whole. So it's pretty exciting to see all that and be a part of it.
Now, what about the type of client? Did you set out for a certain price point of homes, and did you stick with that?
I always like to tell everyone that my very first business plan, I had to write down, who are my clients? I said, well, they're homeowners and real estate agents, and that's about as specific as I got initially. And as I started out, I started realizing the type of ideal client that I wanted, and I actually kind of lucked out within the first couple of years working in a lot of luxury homes and really built a bit of a niche in my luxury homes, but I always marketed myself as available for every price point. So I think that I've managed to find some great ideal type clients. I've worked with some amazing real estate agents. One of my key type kind of, I don't know, sort of one of my markets, I guess, when I was first starting out was new real estate agents. Those new real estate agents that you think are going to be a big player eventually, getting on the ground floor with them. And it's paid very well for me in the end. So, but yeah, I mean, overall, I work in every type of home, but the luxury homes are definitely a ton of fun.
Great. Anyone else want to chime in on that one?
I mean, this is Tori. I'll say something that I was never expecting to really become the online go-to person, if you want to call it that, when it comes to staging. I thought I was going to constantly be staging in New York City. I had picked out a couple other locations. Like, I wanted to be in Florida. I wanted to be in Phoenix, a couple other major cities, and be staging and have kind of like a network going on under my company umbrella. So that completely changed after Superstorm Sandy, and I had to take a step back from my, business and really focusing on creating my first floor of my home again. So that really sparked the new change in my whole entire business model.
And Diane, what do you think about this topic? Because you're going to be speaking about, the different price points of homes. When you started out, did you have a particular price point that you were interested in?
Not so much price point. There's where I live, there's everything from, $100,000 townhomes in a sort of low rent district up to, $10 million estate properties up on the hillside. Staging is not really, hasn't really been embraced in my market where I live out in the Fraser Valley. I'm about an hour and a half out of Vancouver, and it hasn't really been embraced by the real estate community, but I'm changing that. So I was willing to take sort of whatever business could come my way. I was expecting that I would do mostly occupied properties. I just thought that's where my market would be. That's where people would be interested. And very quickly, the very first job I got was a vacant. So I had to decide, am I going to do inventory or not? And I thought that it would be about 10% vacants and 90% occupied properties, and it's probably turned out to be about 50-50 for me. So I've been building up my inventory. I'm one of the few stagers within about 20 miles of me who does carry inventory. So that's been a good thing for my business model as well.
That's awesome. Anybody else start out one way thinking you were going to do just one niche or one avenue for your staging and turned into something different?
Yeah, this is Christy here, and I started out doing consultations only. And that's how I was able to get to 40 appointments a month. It all started that way. And I was like, yeah, this is great. And then I saw all the money I was paying out to the rental companies. And I was like, yeah, let's capitalize on that. So that's when I started buying inventory. And now we're focusing actually and working more with builders, transforming their show homes and not doing those, as many consultations and running around the city we've kind of refined the system to not be as insane, and we work for builders, where when I started, that was not the direction I wanted to go. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to ever own inventory. I'm just going to keep overhead low. But then I found, you know, I really liked the transformation side of new properties. So we started
with the transformation side. And what about just the transformation in your own business? I mean, I know that carrying overhead is more work, but would you say that it's worth it to make that move for you?
For me, it was. I get more money. So,
show me the money.
Everyone's goals in business will be different, right? So, if some people want to have, you know, less headaches on you know, transporting large items, well, they're not going to want to get into the inventory element, because sometimes if people don't show up, you still got to schlep things around and find extra people to help you move that couch. You can't, you know, say, oh, sorry, guy's called in sick, let's reschedule it for 2 weeks. In real estate, we have to get it done fast. So for me, I definitely liked the transition because it's been a greater profit boost within the company. But, you know, that I don't mind taking on the extra, you know, work and staffing that needs it, because I have those systems in place that allowed me to implement it with ease.
I love that. Anybody else want to comment on this?
This is Catherine. I know I joke about this when I'm teaching, because when I started my business, I was coming off of maternity leave. I'd been working for, close to 30 years in my industry. I was in communications. And so when I left and I was going to start my own business, I had two young kids. So I had visions of, I'm going to work from 9. So when the kids go to school, and I'll be done at 3. And I've been watching, I think it's Zelda's house for years. And I sew and paint. So I thought, every house is going to have pillows. I'm going to make some. I'm going to paint a painting for everybody. And I don't think I ever did it. And I don't think I ever finished work at 3 o'clock. And that went on probably for 3 years until I started training. And that was never my expectation whatsoever that I would be training. So now I train pretty much full time and coach. And I do a lot of consultations, so I don't have any inventory left, but I love doing the consultations. I love working with sellers, and I feel like when I do a consultation, it's a very different relationship now, and I farm my work out. So I have a couple of stagers that I will contract work out for, and it's worked out very well for me. I think one of the very important pieces of the industry, too, is that you sometimes don't really know what you're getting in for until you're actually in it. And so it's very important to keep to the things that you love, you know, take on the parts of the business that you love. We all do it differently. We all bring a different set of expertise. And if you keep loyal to that in yourself, then you're always going to love what you do, no matter how you grow and what changes occur, because really shit happens. And life, you know, there's lots of things that go on in your life, and they change your plan from the beginning. But as long as you're true to yourself, and that you continue to do what you love and that you're passionate about, you will continue to love your business and see it grow.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's one trend here that I'm hearing is that everybody, you have to be able to kind of roll with the punches. Everybody, I think, on this, from this question, is you started out one way, opportunities arise. And it's really, I think May, I would imagine just from the title of your talk that you'd have a lot to say about this as far as building the business that you want, recognizing those opportunities, the obstacles that may show up. I have a big thing about the law of attraction and obstacles, is that, you know, obstacles aren't there to keep you out. They're there to keep people out that don't want it badly enough. And you should, you know, kick the crap out of those obstacles, throw them on the ground, and build the road to your success with those things. And they only make you stronger. So May, tell us a little bit about, you know, when you're talking about building your business beyond your belief, the ability to roll with the punches and to recognize those new opportunities. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. That's very, very true. And those are some of the things that are really important in moving forward, right? And the sort of the track to staying in charge no matter what the circumstances are, and then creating the environment that you want yourself. So, you know, when I sort of started, I think as everybody else says, it really hasn't turned out the way I thought it would be. It's in fact been better, but that was sort of from a lot of me sort of stepping back and saying, okay, what do I need to do? And much of it's, you know, like kicking those obstacles to the curb and sort of increasing the power of my mind to make my business what I wanted. And I sort of came from about 30-odd years in the financial services industry. And it was interesting how the one thing that worked extremely well for me in that industry, which was basically clients on referrals, because this is a new industry, as people had mentioned, and not as well known, right? Everybody knows about financial services and knows that in some form or another they need them. And so I had an interesting mindset when I first started that referrals wouldn't work for me. And in fact, the entire reverse was true. So as soon as I adopted my old approach of building my business on referrals, it worked. So for me, it's like, wow, that's a very powerful mindset in both ways, right?
So,
because
it
served me negatively, and then it served me positively.
It is. And mindset is absolutely crucial when it comes to this business. I do a lot of business coaching, and my preface when I do a business coaching with someone is like, look, I don't have time to find all the pretty words not to hurt your feelings about something. If you're thin, hang up and run, because I'm just going to tell you the truth. It doesn't help me grow my coaching business to lie to you about something. And everybody's mindset is what keeps them from the success. If you go into it thinking, oh, I'm driving to a consult, and I know, Catherine, you can comment on this too. If you're driving in your car on the way to a consult, and you're like, oh God, what am I going to do? How are they going to, what are they going to react? What are they going to say this? What am I going to say back to them? They're just not going to listen, or I'm going to do a bid and they're not going to give me the business. If you walk, if you're driving there and this is what you're telling yourself, turn around and go home. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. Let me break real quick. We have a caller, so I'm going to chime in and see if this is another speaker calling in or if this is someone for a question. So hello, caller from 705 area code. Are you a speaker or did you have a question for us? Last four digits of your phone number, 6018. Caller, did you have a question?
Oh, no, sorry, not just yet.
Not just yet. Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. So I think, you know, I talk to so many people about their mindsets, and I'm a very firm believer in, you know, the law of attraction and the positive mindset, and you can go out and make things happen. I mean, you either get to work on time or you don't get to work on time. You either do it or you don't do it. And I think a lot of people flounder, and I see a lot in social media with the newbies that are posting questions online. And I know all of us chime in and try to do our best to help people. But boy, some of the mistakes and the things that they don't even think about, I'm sure we were all there. I know my first staging job that I ever did, I bought a kidney bean shaped sofa. I mean, it was a big deal.
Don't use that again.
It's like, what was I thinking? It's like, this can never, ever be used again. Like, you make those mistakes. But at the time I thought, boy, I'm balling now. I've got myself some inventory and I was all happy about it. And then I got it and I put it in the house and I'm like, oh, this is the worst decision I ever made. And I couldn't return it. And it was all bad. So I know we've all kind of made those mistakes, but I think, you know, one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they just don't have a plan. They kind of go into it, and if they don't have some education and they don't have a plan and they're really unsure, they think, oh, I'm just going to do it for the experience, and the experience will be great. Well, the experience of that is going to teach you everything that you don't want to do. But I think that a little bit of preparation and going into it would really help a lot of people. So newbie-wise, what do you think is your best advice for a newbie just starting out? Let's say somebody posted on social media and they said, I don't have any education. I got a call from an agent that I know to stage an occupied listing. What do I do?
This is Catherine. The advice that I give to people who have that dilemma and they have an agent waiting to work with them is don't say no. And ask me or some other senior stager or somebody that they could mentor with, and ask them to to work with them on the job, that they'll pay them and learn from them, and so that they never lose face with the agent, but they continue to learn, and they learn from somebody who knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
And then go to
That's
school.
Great.
And then get your certification, of course. Yeah,
yes,
you can't put enough of a value on that.
Yeah.
Anyone else have some advice for that newbie who's got this phone call that dropped in their lap and they don't know what to do with?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Shuttle in here. I was just going to say, I think that the biggest key is that, you want to make sure that you're valued still. So if you go and work for that agent for free because you're just trying things out, you almost set an expectation. So I loved Catherine's idea of teaming up with a veteran stager and getting the experience that you need. So you're not having to say no to business, but at the same time, you're setting the precedent, you're setting the expectation, you're billing the agent accordingly, and you're setting it so that they understand that this is a valuable service that you need to be compensated for.
And nobody ever has to know that you've just started, that this is your first job. You take someone along who knows the ropes, and you learn from them, but let them take the lead and pay them to take the lead. But they never have to know that this was your first job out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they don't need to know that the mentor that you're bringing is your mentor. I mean,
no,
this is,
absolutely.
This is someone
absolutely.
On my team, and you can still get the job done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Diane here. Yeah, that's absolutely right. I totally agree with what Catherine had and the rest of you have said here too. And I think that the homestay, getting connected with networks of people who can help you in whatever way. If there is a mentor in your area, go out with them. If there isn't, and a lot of us live in areas where there are no other stagers or they're few and far between, get connected on the Home Stagers Facebook page or the RESA Facebook page. Those have just been invaluable. I have a student of mine who is took my class in almost a year ago now, and she asked questions every day. She's asking a question on one of those groups, and she is just thriving now. So that can make a huge difference.
Beautiful. I love it. So you know what? We're about halfway through. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. So stay tuned for the next 33 seconds.
Working with Court Furniture Rental makes sense for home stagers in a number of ways. A wide variety of furniture selection, delivery in as little as 48 hours, professional installation, no warehousing, repairing or cleaning, and flexible lease terms. By teaming up with Court, you can focus on the bigger vision and spend less time installing furniture. If you are a professional home stager, contact us today for your furniture needs. Be sure to let us know if you are a RESA member and receive a 10% discount. For more information about partnering with Court, call 888-360-2678.
All right, Shell Broadnax here with Stager Talk. I'm here with several of the RESACon Canada speakers. Our upcoming convention is in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada, August 4th and 5th at the Living Arts Center. If you are new to staging, thinking about even getting into the business, or even a tenured stager and you'd like to get some education, please visit RESA-Canada.org for more information on the convention. We would love to have you join us. Let's skip over here to Tori real quick. Tori, let's talk about email lists. Email marketing, man, it is just the craze right now, and everybody's doing it. What is it, one or two topics that you want to, or points that you want to make that you're going to talk about at RESACon Canada that you can tell people about today on their list?
Right. So, yeah, it is very popular. That and then also texting, doing like text emails and stuff like that is becoming a little crazy popular too. But we won't go into that in my speech. So basically, you know, I want to try and help you create killer content. I want you to understand who should be on your list, you know, because you just don't want anybody. You don't want to be talking to crickets. You want people that are really going to find your content that's valuable. We'll also talk about what email service providers would be right for you. There are some free services. There are some services that are fairly more expensive and labor-intensive. Also, where you should be placing your opt-in forms, where can people find you, you know, on your website, on your Facebook fan page, on your blog. So there's a lot of different places where you can be capturing these leads. And then, of course, by capturing these leads, they become less cold leads and more warmer leads. And that's when you create an autoresponder that really makes that better impact. And it's not a lot of work for you. Of course, there's some time that you need to take in the beginning to put this stuff together like any system. But once it's there, all you need to do is tweak it and kind of nurture it, and you'll be growing your list, and you'll be growing your social media, and you'll be growing your referral base as well.
Well, I absolutely love it. I love what you've done. I just went onto your YouTube channel, and it caught up. So if anybody heard the noise in the background, that was it. Tori, can you give everybody your YouTube channel URL so they can check you out? Because Tori's done some really spectacular work. I've watched you grow this, I think, since your first video post, and I'm so impressed with it. So why don't you give it to everybody else so they can be impressed with you as well?
It's youtube.com/stylishstagers. And really, you can see me grow. I've kept all of my old videos up, so it's from when I kind of didn't have a great video camera or a microphone to what I'm doing nowadays, which is a lot more professional, and I'm trying to target agents as well as sellers and just everyday homeowners. So I'm trying to make this full circle. This way I'm getting people in if they just need some decorating tips. I'm also getting people in if they're looking to sell and then need decorating tips, and then I'm getting agents to actually refer me to their own clients.
I love it. Well, so check her out, youtube.com/stylishstagers. Shauna, I want to ask you about operating your mobile business on the road effectively. With the technology, one thing that I have found in my coaching of thousands of people, thousands of small business owners and stagers over the last 10 years, how do I say this? Technology challenged. I'm talking the average stager is probably a DEFCON 2 on the scale of 1 to 10. So what are a couple of the technology aspects that you want to teach people that is not going to make their head explode?
Well, no, I think that's you're hitting right on the head there. And I want to clarify, I'm a tech geek. I studied math way back in the day. Technology has changed a lot in the last 20 years, so the stuff that I learned on computers is completely different now. I refused to get a smartphone for the first few years of my business, so it's not exactly as though I was overly embracing of the technology, but I think that there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of stuff available, and everyone's telling you, oh, do this, do this, do this. What I do in my training, though, is not only show you some of the best apps, but I show you how incredibly easy they are to use. And I show you how to use them for your home staging business. So it's not just related to, here's how to use the application. You know, for example, in my group, we talked about Dropbox. And, of course, pretty much everyone in that group has Dropbox. But I showed them at least 5 or 6 different ways that they could be utilizing it so much better. And it's so easy to do. So I promise it doesn't take a lot of tech skills. I think that did scare a few people off the last time. And everyone who did come was so thankful. Weren't scared off by that, but you really don't need to have any tech skills. It's so super easy to use. I have taught my mom how to do some of these things, and believe me, 69 years old, she is not about to jump in ahead of things on technology, but she can use some of these things with absolute ease. They're so foolproof and simple.
Great. Yeah, I think technology, it doesn't have to be scary, y'all, but you do need to know what a URL is and a domain name and your websites, and get away from the GoDaddy ones. And technology is really there to be able to help us. And I think that, every single piece of technology, you can get in technology overload where you're doing too much, but to find the right technology for the things that you need, whether it be like Darby inventory systems, if you're going to track your inventory, that's something that's great. Google Docs, Gina Vieira, our vice president of operations at Risa, kicking and screaming did this woman drag me into Google Docs. And I'm so grateful that she did, because we've got everything in the cloud. It's easy to be able to take one document, make a link to it, and send somebody the link instead of sending the file. I mean, and that was technology. And I'm pretty tech savvy. I build websites. I know what it is that I'm doing. I can even write code to a certain degree. But for some reason, the Google Docs, I looked at it and my head was spinning. I was like, I don't even know how I'm ever going to learn this. And, once I got in it for 2 days, it was like, oh, my God, this is genius. Why didn't somebody lead with this information? So I'm glad that you're going to be teaching people about the technology, because I think they do need to embrace it and get on board with it. It makes their lives so much easier in running their businesses.
and it's not going anywhere. I mean, we're moving
right.
to more and more technology every day, so we might as well jump on and embrace it. But the good news is that I'm going to teach them how to use them to the best of their ability and to really maximize their time. It's going to make the headaches absolutely go away, pretty much. It's going to reduce a lot of the everyday stress that we have when it comes to technology. So, yeah, it definitely makes people's lives a lot easier. That's my goal.
Absolutely. So, Catherine Lewis Brown, let's talk about consults for a minute, because I know you've really mastered the consultations and you've made some changes in your business to where you're primarily focusing on that. And I know that there are some stagers out there that will only do consultations. Myself included, you know, I'm Risa, CEO, full-time and business coaching and doing some speaking on the side as well. I don't stage homes. It's not my passion to stage an actual home. But if I was going to be in business as a full-time stager, I would want to do the marketing and sales and aspect of the business, and I'd partner with somebody who wanted to do the actual staging. But I will do consultations. Those are things that I actually do enjoy the consult, because you get to know people and you can give them some good direction and really solve some problems that they have. So let's talk a little bit about the consult. And what do you think it is about a consultation that makes things so scary for the stager?
I think there's a few things, but having taught staging for the last like almost 4 years and mentored and coached a lot of new stagers, I think the challenge for a lot of stagers is that they take their training, they learn something about the consultation, but they learn a lot in that packed bit of time, but they've never experienced it. So to suddenly get out there and know that they have to be this expert, I think is very intimidating. They've never necessarily mentored or followed someone through the process of a consultation. So it's easy for people like myself and other people who other stagers who are doing consultations on the time to really nail it pretty easily. Like, we know how we do it. We know how we deliver it. And we know what information needs. We know that we know our stuff. We're confident in that. And so I think for a lot of new stagers, it's just not knowing what they're supposed to know and not knowing what the first steps are. So I think a lot of it for me is like, then if you can find someone to mentor who will take you on a consultation, which is also difficult because stagers for the most part who are experienced don't necessarily want to take a new stager because it's they're kind of in an intimate relationship. They're also their goal, well, which I don't think is necessarily the best thing, but their goal is to secure this into a staging job. So they are not necessarily wanting someone to follow around with them while they're selling to this homeowner. I personally think the best way to handle a consultation is to look at it as a one-off. You've been hired by either the agent or the homeowner to give them the best advice to get their house ready to sell. And if you focus on it that way and you spend your 2 hours working with that client to be a solution provider and give them what they need, and don't worry about selling it and converting into a showcasing, your expertise are the thing that's going to shine. And that's what's going to sell you to your client to hire you to stage. And if they don't, that's okay. It really truly is okay. When you can walk away and know that you did the best job possible for your client, that you gave them so much information. I really truly believe that the consultation is going to give their client the most value for their money. That's going to make them, that could make them thousands. It could save them thousands when you are really good at doing your job, as opposed to the showcasing, which makes it great. And we all love to do it. I love to shop. I love nice things. I love furniture. But when you can do it from the perspective that you're really helping a seller to get the best out of the sale of their house, that's massive. And so I think if new stagers can just look at it as, I'm being hired to help these people get their house ready to sell, and just concentrate on the 2 hours that they have. To know that one tip that I think is really, really helpful is, every time you go to a consultation, make sure that you have researched the area a little bit. You don't have to do tons, but you need to know, especially as a new stager, what the houses are like in the area. What kind of homeowner am I expecting to find? Is this going to be a family home? Is this going to be, young urban professional in a condo? Like, know the market and know what the competition is doing, so that when you're able to talk, when you're talking to that seller about what they need to do to their house, you can help them by being able to compare to what their competition is doing, so that you always are going to look like, or not look like, you are always going to be the expert in the room. You're always going to be the person that knows more about selling houses and getting them ready to sell than anybody else. And I know when you were talking about, you know, you get in the car and you're kind of anxious about going. That's kind of part of the prep that I do, is like making sure that I know where I'm going. I know what's happening in that area. I know what the competition is doing. And I often will get in my car. I usually, for me, I have usually between a 20 and a 40 minute drive to do a consultation, depending on where I'm going. So I put the radio on a station that I like to hear that's going to make me feel upbeat. And then I do, I actually have in the car, and I have not taken it out, I have four or six. It's a set of the Secret CDs. And, and I just pop one of those in. I don't pay attention to what it is, because I think, well, the universe is telling me this is what I need to know today. And it might be like in the middle of the CD, and I listen to what it says, and I get out of the car and I feel motivated. And I feel like I am the expert, and I am going to help these people sell their house. I am there to serve them for this 2 hours.
Right. I love what you said about not worrying about the upsell, because as a business coach, recently I've actually had, I think, four people call me, and they weren't giving everything they could give during a consult in hopes to upsell. And I was like, what? Why? No. You are being paid for a service. I want to make that real clear to anybody out there that's doing these consultations. If you are getting paid a flat fee for a consultation, your job and your only job is to give that homeowner every single possible bit of information you can give them so they can properly prepare their home for sale, period.
Yeah.
You have been paid for it. And if you shortcut them, it's stealing. It's not ethical. If at that time they take everything and they say, you know, this is really overwhelming, it's much more work than I thought it would be, how much would it cost for you to do that? Fantastic. Go ahead and bid that services. But if you're doing a consult, boy, hit it home. Give them everything that you can possibly give them. You're right. It's the number one it's their number one investment, and it's the most bang for the buck.
And you really have to treat it as if you're never coming back. You know,
exactly.
Like you can't treat it as like you're not going to give the farm away, but you are absolutely going to tell them everything that they need to do in case they never see you again. Otherwise, you're right. You're gypping them. You're stealing from them. And it's personally, I don't feel good. I hate feeling like I missed something. I'll call them back and say, you know, I was thinking about it, and that blah, 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 blah needs to be changed. And this is what I would really recommend, because I hate to feel that I didn't give them everything that they paid for. Also have to say that I think there's I don't know a ton of the training that's out there for consultations. I haven't, but I do hear a lot of stagers who do it a consultation in 45 minutes, and I don't know how they do
that.
Yeah.
Really?
And I hear that a lot, and I'm really perplexed, because I'm lucky to get out of there, but I usually can do it between an hour and 50 minutes and an hour or two and a quarter hours. And I like to think that basically I'm done in the 2 hour mark, because I've had enough, I've said enough, and they've heard enough, because there's a sort of a time where they kind of start to stop. And, but I don't leave until I'm done. And for the most part, I'm done around the 2 hour mark, and you know how to make that happen, but because you've been doing it long enough. But you have to you give till you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I like what you
I
said too
more.
About the. I like what you said about the secret and playing the CD in your car. I do the same thing if I'm going somewhere. You want to feel motivated. I'm pretty good about motivating myself, but I love Anthony Robbins. I always loved Zig Ziglar. I love listening to The Secret. Right now, I'm very much into Mike Dooley, Infinite Possibilities. I'm a certified trainer through them. It's so imperative that your mindset, so May, you know, I'm leading up to you, girl. When your mindset, if you're driving someplace and if you are telling yourself those that you know, negative gremlin in your shoulder and your mind saying, I'm not going to get it, I'm not good enough, what am I going to say, they're going to hate me, blah, blah, blah. Yep, that's what's going to happen. Turn around, go home, pack it in, go back to bed and start over. So always try to get yourself revved up in the positives. Like, oh my God, I'm going to get there. They're going to love me. I'm going to get there. It's going to be glorious. So May, talk to me about mindset. I know from your business topic, you're very much into this. How can stagers, just from their mindset, what's the biggest challenge I think stagers they don't get out of their own way. You know, they're their own worst enemy when it comes to their mindset. And I think it comes from the lack of the confidence. So, May, what do you have to say about that?
Well, so I think it's not just one thing, Shell. It's a number of things, and I think it's different things with different people, right? Because we are our history, right? So, I mean, the people that we are doesn't come from what we give ourselves. It comes from a lot of history. So, you know, I work with people sort of aligning, I always say aligning you with you and the magic of attitude, right? Because we all have it. It's just hidden. It's like that unopened gift. That you know that I refer to, which is our mind, right? So unlocking that secret of ours and knowing that we do have everything, and I think a lot of people don't quite understand the power that they have themselves, right? Like, so listening to motivational tapes from anybody, and I don't care who they are, they're all wonderful, right? I have two boxes in my car, and I just sort of, you know, do as Catherine does. I just pick one out and pop it in, and that's the message for the day. But people do have to get out of their own way, but they have to know they're in their way. So it's kind of I call it sort of a bit of an understanding gap between knowing and doing. Because we know a lot, but we often don't put that into action. So we know we're
Absolutely.
In our own way, but we think, well, you know, it's okay, you know. So it's sort of knowing the triggers and being able to see them, recognize them, and what action you need to take to get out of your own way, as you say.
Absolutely. And
avoiding
hey,
those landmines that are going to sabotage your success.
Exactly. Exactly. You nailed it. And if anybody's ever confused if you're in your own way or not, give me a call. I'll let you know. I have no problem helping you out there.
I have a feeling you'll be very clear with us.
I'm crystal clear. You know, like I tell people, I warn people, I'm like, look, I'm not going to sit here and be mean to you. That's not it. But I'm just direct. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's like, no, your website doesn't work. This is why. Period. The end. Hear it. Don't hear it. How you choose to deal with the information is up to you. But your website's not working. And we know that because X, Y, Z. And then they say, oh, I want to fork in your eye. And then 10 minutes later, it's like, oh, God, you're so right. You're so right. So you do have to know if you're in your own way or not. And if things aren't working for you, chances are you're in your own way. You just have to figure out, you know, what is that roadblock? What's that obstacle? And like I said, kick its butt and put it down in front of you and pave the road to success. Diane Hamill, let's talk about the staging at all price points. I know staging, obviously, we know, and you know, because you're going to talk about some case studies during your speech at RisaCon, that staging does work on all the different price points, but it's really about the stager, you know, for their own business. I think one of a mistake that a lot of stagers make is they try to just do too much within their own business, their scope. And sometimes you have to rein it in a bit where somebody will say, you know, hey, I'll do a $75,000 home, I'll do a $250,000 home, and I'll do a $2 million home. And, you know, the inventory and everything is that you're putting into it and your whole approach to marketing that particular property couldn't be more of a night and day difference. So what do you think about the stagers on how important is it for them to choose that price point and what are they comfortable with? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a great thing to know about yourself, what you're comfortable with, where you like to work, where the sweet spot is for you. You know, Catherine was talking about that in her talk as well, where that sweet spot is for you and looking and building your business towards that particular area. Where I live, there are not a ton of luxury properties, but there are a lot of family homes. So I've tended to put my business there. And because there are, because it's a new and growing business in this particular area, I've found that I've had to expand myself way more than I thought I would. So you have to kind of be prepared. Are you willing to do that? Do you want to just be the stager that does the consultation? Do you want to be the person that takes a risk? And I've taken a lot of risks that I didn't think that I'd be comfortable with, but almost all of them have paid off really well. And the ones that didn't are the ones that I learned from and thought, well, like Shell with the kidney shaped sofa, that you know, that's one thing I'm really not interested in doing again. So yeah, knowing yourself knowing your market, knowing how to do it, and knowing what your limitations are. There's just because of where I live and the kind of market that I'm in, I'm not going to go out and buy the kind of furniture that I would put into, even though I love it, that I'm going to put into a high-rise downtown Vancouver apartment. So knowing what your market is, one thing that I point out to students all the time too, that people don't notice very often, is that on most MLS listings, there's a little demographic button. So you can go to that little demographic button and see who lives there, what their ages are, what their income is. All that stuff is tremendous information for a stager to know, is this a good place for me to go? You can do a consultation on, you know, multi-million dollar properties, but you might not want to stage them. You might want to find a stager in your area who specializes in luxury properties and partner up with them, offer to be there, to be their assistant on that day, because you just don't have the inventory, but you have the social and business connection to get them that job too.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. I think that's really spot on, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about your presentation at RisaCon. I think I'm probably going to pop into that one. Christine Morrison, let's talk about systems for a minute. I know everything in our business, even here at Risa, you know, anybody's business, you have to have systems. When we start a new chapter, we have an onboarding system. We have steps. First you do this, then we do this, then we move to that, then we do this. And we do that because our experience shows us this is the way that it works. And if you stick with the system and the prescription of how it is that we work, we are going to be successful. So let's talk a little bit about some of your systems in place. I know a lot of these systems, they're just for your everyday function of you know, how it is that you run your business. But talk a little bit about just how much time and efficiency it can save people and headache.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. I have systems for different avenues within my business. And everyone, you know, is wondering, well, what are different avenues? I always take our umbrella and break it down further. So we have, like, the administrations and office policies, the how we're going to market to our clients policies, the staging policies. Like, what do I do when I talk to a client? What do I do when it's occupied versus vacant? What do I do if they don't like what I put in? Like, I have to have everything pre-planned and written out. So when it happens, I'm like, oh, this is how I respond. And it's a lot easier. So it takes time to create systems. And I'm not going to say you're going to be able to have your system set up and running within like a day, but you will be able to implement your systems as you're growing your business. I think if you're a brand new stager, now is the best time. Yes, you may not know exactly how you want to run your business, but you will know the core elements as you're growing it. So just write them out. Write how you want to answer your phone. Write down your business hours. Like, if you have everything written down into your binder, your SOP folder on your computer, however you want to operate, having it set up from the start is a lot easier. And if you're, you know, a more experienced stager, being able to run your business without having systems, first of all, I say kudos, because I forget everything, so I don't know how you remember it all. But it will allow you to, expand in your business. So let's say you're right now working on your business by yourself, and you want to have staff. Well, it's a lot easier to train them if the systems are already in place than having a having to fly by the seat of your pants while training them and figuring it out. So
exactly.
For
those who don't know SOP, standard operating procedures, you must have them in order to have your business run effectively. And you are so right. When you write these down, the other thing about SOPs and your systems, it really helps build your brand. Your brand is just not logo and your colors anymore. It's what people, I think everybody needs to know. Branding has evolved, and it's really about who you are and what you stand for is your brand, because you're standing behind your name. And if you have these systems in place, you have your standard operating procedures and your policies and your procedures, you just can't go wrong, because it's the same thing every time. And undoubtedly, systems change. And I like what you said, you know, when you're first starting out, it's the prime time to start these systems. You may not know exactly what you want them to be, but you have to have a starting point. Mm-hmm. And then you tweak them and you massage them as they go along, and then they become the best systems ever.
Exactly. A lot of people think that business systems, you write it, set it, and forget it. But That's not true. A business system is it's a living thing. It's a breathing thing. It's your business. It's the lifeblood. So it will change over time. I remember writing business systems for how I use my CRM, my client relationship management system, and that's changed 3 times. So I had to rewrite them each time, but each time it was effective for what I was doing at the time of my business and for the growth. I just happened to grow really fast, which is why when I was making those choices, I chose the systems that I wanted to do. So it was a lot easier for me to actually rewrite the system because most of it was already there. I just changed the email links or the web links that I was using, and then maybe like one or two of the steps, but the majority of it was there. So it would have taken me a lot longer if I had to just rewrite everything every single time, but it's done.
can you comment on what CRMs you've used?
Oh my goodness. Can I remember them all? I used Zoho.
I use Zoho now.
Yeah, I've used, right now we're currently using Insightly. But
I don't worry, it's Insightly, yeah.
Yeah, I actually have just found a CRM/inventory system in one specific for stagers or anyone in the rental business. So like catering type stuff where they rent out cloths. And so I looked into that and it's brilliant. So that's probably my next phase.
What's the name of that one? I'm thinking that this is the one that I'm getting ready to do some business with.
Yeah, I sent them. That's ServiceMate, the one that I sent to you. No, not ServiceMate. It's ServiceMate was another one I tried using. I actually have a piece of paper sitting here on my desk. It's a Better Software Company.
Better Software Company. Yeah, we were looking into them, and it looked promising.
Yeah, no, I loved them, and I actually gave that guy your name. I was like, you need to talk to Shell. This is brilliant.
Yeah, I was liking what it is that I see. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the CRMs. All my previous careers, I always used CRMs. One company I worked at, we used Access, Microsoft Access. That's how long ago that was. What a dinosaur I am. But now they've all, with the technology, have evolved, and you can do so much more customizations. I really liked ACT. I loved having ACT, but it's, for those of you that don't know, a CRM is a
database,
basically. It's a customer resource management system. So I would come in the morning, and you know, if you have to make phone calls for the day, you know what your schedule is. You can call a client, make notes on that client's account, put what I call a tickle file, schedule out for 30 days to follow up, 10 days to follow up, whatever you need. And so every day it builds. One company, we used to call it a WIP, a work in progress. So every day you would walk in and boom, you've got 20 phone calls to make. You've got to follow up on this, that, or the other. And it's right there in front of you and keeps you so organized. And I personally, for a stager, if you are starting out, if all the stagers could be taught to use a CRM from the get-go, I think everybody would be a lot better off.
A lot better. We talk about it.
Yeah, it's great. I just think they're just so useful.
Well, I just want to say it's a lot easier to build your CRM from the start, entering your client one by one instead of having to import them all when you have hundreds of them.
It is. Same with inventory, too. People say, oh, I don't want to spend, you know, what is it? What's Darby? Under $30 a month, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
People don't want to spend the money on that and say, oh, wait till I have inventory. Yeah, you're going to wait a year when you have all this inventory, and then you're going to have to pay somebody $15 an hour to enter it in the system. Spit yourself to $20 a month or whatever it is and do your inventory from the get-go. Same with the CRM. I love it.
Right,
you know, we're at the – it is. Everything that you invest in your business, people, it is a write-off. So it's important to remember. But we are at the end of our time for today. Does anybody have any final words you want to say?
Come to RESA convention.
There you go.
Totally agree. It is worth the investment in yourself and your business. It'll pay you back over and over and over again. Please come.
I think
you'll never regret it.
Yeah, and even veteran stagers, you know, like it's one thing for new stagers, like, yes, definitely come. But veteran stagers, I mean, I've been in business 8 years and I'm constantly learning every day. So there's still so much to learn. I promise there's something for everyone there, definitely.
There absolutely is. So RESACON Canada, August 4th and 5th, Mississauga, Ontario, at the Living Arts Center. If you are interested in tickets, they are on sale, RESA-Canada.org. And thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Until next time.
Yeah. Thank you, Shel.
Staging Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.